אנחנו קוראים קטעים נבחרים מהמקורות.
We're reading chosen excerpts about the ninth of Av. You can find this material in our website. You can also ask questions. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Chosen excerpts about the ninth of Av.
First of all, our attitude toward the ninth of Av. Destruction, which is necessary, that it has to be revealed as the broken force and our ability to be connected, that the correction can only take place where in a broken place, and therefore this the preparation for the correction. And Jacob, our forefather, as it says, wanted to reveal it to his sons. And of course, it happened at the right time and the way it's supposed to be during the first exile and Gadlut and the exile of Babylon and the second destruction and the second exile, and everything was as planned in advance. And therefore, on the one hand, we have to resist the destruction. On the other hand, when it happened, all the Kabbalists were nonetheless happy. And this separately and that separately. The revelation of the disconnection from the Creator, that's separately, but it came from above. Also the connection and also the disconnection that happened as a result of the shattering. And after the shattering, there is already the time of preparation until the time of the Ari. And from the time of the Ari and on, we are worthy of correction. And therefore, after the shattering, there's nothing further that can come, but it's all in our hands. If we do what we're supposed to do, then everything's supposed to be more and more corrected, without shatterings, without nothing, there are no further shatterings, and disasters, and Holocaust, and nothing. But on condition that we would use correctly, like the Kabbalists, right, that from the time of the Ari and on, it's possible to use the wisdom of Kabbalah, study it, teach it, correct yourselves, and you will succeed. But because we don't use it, there are many delays and enemies along the way, haters. So what follows is that the people of Israel suffer. They go into the Holocaust and will suffer more and more because they do not want to accept the method of correction and correct themselves. Correct their connection up to the point of love another as thyself, and there to discover love the Creator, your God. That's it. Therefore, we have to relate to the ninth of Av as what was, as Rabbi Akiva said. The temple shattered. And what? Now we have to begin the correction. And this is how we should relate to it, meaning it's a day that we're supposed to cry, not about what happened, because what happened happened only. It all came from the Creator. There's no else besides Him. But what we have to cry about is that to this day, and also on this day, we have not reached the resurrection of the temple, because every day that it is not resurrected, it's considered that it is ruined. This is our attitude to the ninth of Av in general. Is it clear? And therefore, we're not sorry about what happened, but we're sorry about what we are today, how we're today. That's it. Questions? All those that you usually ask probably went home. Who's there, Eyal?
Rav, yesterday, in one of the links we got, there was an article that was published in Channel 2, I think. Anyway, it was the news about Jews who oppose Israel. They're in the U.S., and they're leading the public opinion against Israel.
Of course. Who do you think is always... Ask Haim Ratz? He studied all these things also during the times of the Greeks, the Romans. It was all Jews. All Jews that were against us, always.
And the guy who interviewed them, he interviewed a few Jews, and they explained that they're boycotting Israel. They won't buy anything that was manufactured in Israel. And they explained that all the bad things... Well, in short, Hamas is...
I don't understand why are you impressed by this. After the shattering, where the people of Israel were connected and were in love another as thyself, and they fell from that degree into unfounded hatred, then that is called unfounded hatred. So they hate us. They hate us. And they hate those that are in Israel. And they hate those that, not only those that live in Israel, but also Jews. Jews hate Jews. And those in Israel hate us. And this is how it goes in a pyramid. It's natural. And it'll become more and more revealed. Like we read a bit about the War of the Maccabees and what happened there, how they fought each other. Like Bala Sulam writes that the people of Levi killed 3,000 people. This is in the times of the First Temple. It's all Jews. You have no greater anti-Semites than the Jews themselves. Because if they do not hold to love another as thyself, as a goal, not that they're already there, but as a goal, otherwise they are in hate. The force of shattering is what controls them. And then they hate Jews and Israel and the wisdom of Kabbalah and everything more than the nations of the world do. Sure?
My question about this is...
It's ideological hate, spiritual hate. It's not just corporeal hate that you stole something from me, you did something...
In truth, and you see it. If you hear this item, you see it, it's really clear. My question about this is...
Send me this article. No?
How do you bring a person out of this state? Is it possible at all?
With the help of Bnei Baruch, that day in, day out, disseminate articles and materials that this is how you do. I hope that the English department is doing it. I don't know. They're supposed to do it. This is their work. I only get an update from Norma. She writes an article or two every week. Are there articles? I don't know. I don't know. They should say, who's here? Asaf.
Both articles and video clips and also your conversations with people and clips out of your talks with people. You're getting a list with all these links.
When?
Last one you got was a few days ago from Gilad, that, in my opinion. But I'll send it again.
From Gilad?
Gilad Shir.
I understand it's Gilad Shir. Maybe.
By the way, we also have, on this upcoming Wednesday, we have a special project, maybe we should tell about it. We're making you meet people with, from on all the spectrum, starting with anti-Semites and until the pro-Jews. And
better anti-Semites than pro.
Yes, we see that, but...
We find a common language. Zvika, I'm telling you seriously. And they agree with me. And they understand what I'm saying. And Jews, no. They say, what anti-Semitism? No, there's just one problem. Israel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wanted to say. That in a wondrous way, in these conversations, you're very direct. You're really talking about what you want to talk. And it's very interesting that the Jews find it hard to...
Hard to accept. Yeah,
yeah, they're hard to accept. Some don't even want to meet you. It depends on the ones who are professors and they have their own perception about things in the U.S. They won't even agree to the fact that there is anti-Semitism. Even after Pittsburgh and...
To close your eyes, that's the...
And with the anti-Semites, you have some connection that they are the ones who can listen. The friends who were at Oxford and came back on Saturday, meet, etc., they talked about the gap you cannot bridge. But the ones who do have the ear for it, they are the ones who have hatred. Maybe we should do something with them.
Of course, but the problem isn't only for them to understand, because afterwards they might understand that we are justifying them. But that through this, they will also understand, accept what is our destiny and why do they hate us. Meaning you have to elaborate a bit, send the materials, of course, and I hope that you're doing this. But it's a part of the matter.
If I may, if we're talking about it already, something that the friends who came back from Oxford talked about, something really blocks the conversation with the Jews, not with the anti-Semites. It's when we say very directly that it's the Jews' fault that there is anti-Semitism.
So not to say it on the first sentence, but to give them an historical review of where does it come from and why and so on. You have to shift them from an emotional to a more intellectual state for them to connect to it intellectually with the correct logic and explanation, and then they'll understand that, yeah, probably this is how it is, because facts are facts. Only, where does it come from? They don't have an answer, but they don't want to accept your answer because it hurts them. And how could it be? And that it doesn't coincide with what they got from their grandparents. To bring them to some kind of scientific platform, historic platform, and then it's easier to talk to them, to disconnect them emotionally.
One more thing. There is one more thing we say that is usually, it sounds pretty extreme to most people. And that's when we say that another Holocaust may occur.
Oh, we're not the only ones who say that.
Yeah, there are a few more who say
that. Scientists, Jews, and also Kabbalists. We have what to rely on. And why do we say this? Again, why am I saying it? Do I want for it to happen? Of course not. I come from a family where maybe 5% of the family was left, really. And I was born and I grew up in an area where really it was all in the air, really. I think about it because it's in our ability to stop it and not to allow it to unfold into this once again. Because the Holocaust erupts when there's no other answer, no other correction for the separation that the Jews are doing. Because there's no other answer to separation, there's no correction, then there's an explosion, then there's shattering, the continuation of the shattering, which is the Holocaust. And after that, again, from what's left, as Bala Sulam writes, those that the remnants of the Holocaust, then they have an opportunity to correct. And if not, then you continue. You know, also regarding the Shvira, there was the Malchei Dachgat, Malchei Tanhim, the two temples, but how many stages were there between the first and the second temple? there were all the time wars and strifes and unbelievable what went on there. You didn't have a single quiet moment. You know, everyone was either in favor of the work of the Creator or against it. These 1,000 years, it was worse than it was by Pharaoh and in different other periods. How did they come back from the exile to the land of Israel? And how many came back, all in all? But this is a wonder. Really, these were very hard states. To keep to the in order to bestow, really. Therefore, what does it mean that there can't be a Holocaust? If once again we'll reach such a separation. Today we're in a worse separation than before. Than how it was 100 years ago. Today it's much worse, the relationship between Jews.
No, but there's no doubt about the anti-Semitism rising surprisingly in places like America and Europe. When you give your vision...
I told that 20 years ago I said there's going to be anti-Semitism in the United States.
That's true.
That's how the process has to be.
Yeah, but if you give a picture of a boycott on Israel that can happen, there is an ear for that. Many people will agree to that.
Would the Americans care about that?
Yeah, but that's something you can clearly make this picture. But giving a picture of a Holocaust in the U.S. is something distant.
It'll start with boycotting Israel. It'll taste good. I'm a Jew and I'm boycotting Israel. This means a distinguished Jew. It already exists, but this is how it's going to be. Mainstream, if you want to be accepted in the European or American society and so on. The next thing that'll happen is that all the Jewish businesses, they'll be destroyed. Like the Nazis went into all the small businesses. What businesses did you have in the beginning of the 20th century? Shops, things like that. And completely destroyed them. You saw the movies, Crystal Night. But against the Jewish establishments of today, they're against the businesses that they have today. You know how it's going to be. But it's going to happen only on a different level. It's good to write nice things about it. Nice meaning that people will be impressed by it. And it will happen. It will happen. What can you do? To write another strong, nice article like we did it with the New York Times. So that later it'll be possible to send people there? I don't know. The truth is that it won't help. It's just to prove that you have something in your hand, that you see how things are developing, and maybe by that to convince. Also, I'm not sure that it'll work. Yeah?
First of all, I think that what we should do is one of the things that is in our hands and it works is your conversations with the people.
I don't know how much it works because it's a private person. How much will it help? How much will he want to talk about it later on with other people? There, the atmosphere is completely different. It's hostile. He won't be able to say that I heard good ideas about anti-Semitism. It's not exactly so. He won't be able to speak it out. I don't think so. You can follow those few people. There were 2-3 Jews and 1 anti-Semite.
There were more.
More, okay. Follow them. And see, do they write about it?
Yeah, but what's happening is not only how much it's alive in them and how much they themselves can talk this message. It's the mere fact that it builds you as a messenger of this message.
Well, it builds a lot. It's in the air. There are things that come out into the world this way. It's known that among the religious public, Jewish religious public, people are taught that Jews are at the head of the pyramid, that they're more important, that they're the chosen people.
Correct.
Maybe those Jews that did not accept being responsible for the troubles of the world and so on, that as if...
Who does accept that he's irresponsible?
So this is what I'm asking, that many times Jews
accept that they're great. Yes.
Yeah, and
that they do. Yeah, why not? If it's good, bring it on.
So maybe we should go in the same direction, saying that just like we know that we bring the good things.
Where do we bring good things?
This is what they feel.
Oh, they feel, but if you look at the facts, who did anything good? Oh, on the contrary, the whole world is looking for something good that the Jews have done.
No, we know that they're good at science, and they bring wealth, and they're smart, and usually this is how they see themselves.
Well, I can show you things that all these things didn't do any good to humanity.
To be proud, everyone's proud. I see the Arabs are proud about who they are, and the French, I was in France, I saw how proud they feel about themselves. None of the Jews thinks that he deserves to correct the world.
Okay, but seeing that he's in the head of the pyramid, that's something that he can see.
Right.
So in this place, to tell these people, if you're the tip of the pyramid, for better or for worse, you affect the world. That's something I think they don't accept. If they have something good, they're strong, so they also have, probably, naturally, some responsibility for the bad things, because they're on the top. The pride is really hiding it all. It's concealing everything. They cannot think anything bad about themselves. They're all to blame. The whole world is at fault. We're okay. We're not doing anything wrong. What should we correct? Nothing. We're praying. We're performing the mitzvahs. There, we're quietly going on. What's going on?
I don't want to say it. They'll come to it themselves, but from the feeling that they're superior because they understand that they're at the top of the pyramid.
Well, write it. Write it down. I'm sure you can write these ideas. So, do it. I can't. I'm limited here. I thought about it too much, and I talked about it with the Rabash about all these things, but nothing to do about it. And he said, shh, 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 quiet, quiet, quiet. Be quiet. Don't talk about it. You mustn't.
One more word about it, that it seems that also the Jewish public, Jews, don't feel that they're superior to the rest of the world in any way, for better or for worse. And they just think that they're like everyone else.
That's right.
So simply to explain a bit more about what is a Jew, what is his place in the world.
They don't want it. They don't want to think that they're better than others, because it makes you responsible.
But it also gives them prestige. There are many Jews that are considered very wise in the world. You can see it with Einstein and others.
No one is proud about that. No one. No. David, you write it. Write it. Maybe I'm not perceiving this, but I don't see the breakthrough to the public here. The truth is, I don't know at all. Amen. I'm also. I myself am very frustrated. The only hope is upon you. I'm telling you, after everything, and after it all, there is no, maybe there is some small group here or there, but that's all. But as much as I hear about these groups, they're studying. They're trying to break through to spirituality. There are some that really want it. They want it, but not about dissemination. Not about the correction of the people of Israel, nor about the general correction, more general correction. That's something I don't see. But you're surfing on the internet, all these things. Do you find these things? No. I would gladly connect to other groups under one condition: dissemination to the people of Israel, the method of correction. You don't have to call it the wisdom of Kabbalah, it doesn't matter. The method of correction to the people of Israel, and through them to bestow on the people of the world, to be light upon the nations. It's a must also. Yes, Asaf.
I have a question. From about a week and a half ago, you met this expert in Eastern religions, Eastern teachings, and it was interesting to see that he really liked what you had to say and what the wisdom of Kabbalah has to say. And you also created the link between how it all developed through Abraham and so on. And if in the world there's someone, I'm not saying that they understand their message, but they identify with the idea of the universal connection that everyone has to reach, it's different movements of this kind. The question is, do they have some kind of role?
I don't know. In 20 days from today, I'm going to go to India. Shimon is arranging a few meetings for me with some gurus, some scientists from universities. Right, Shimon? Right. So I'm going to see. I never felt these people. Never. I only met one guru in Moscow. He went to Moscow to make some money. That's the way I got it. That's it. I hope Shimon will find some better matches over there. That's it. But I don't know. What is the East? How much of it did I feel? In Japan, when I was in Japan, I didn't feel I'm going to find there some spirit of our own. In China, there's nothing to look for at all. In India now, I feel it in the air. There is none. South America? No. No, there. I actually do want to go all to these authentic places. But no. After all, I'm telling you, you are the spiritual center of the world. And if you'll make the strongest attempt to do whatever you have to do, everything else will calm down and will be corrected. That's why you have to understand that. The reality will be the opposite. If we won't meet the expectations from above, then we'll get the blows. And you know, there's enough things around us, around Israel, our neighbors, that are really wanted to trample us. All right? Yes? Yes.
Rauba na gura to, shifuro rishmo.
Kiev.
Traditionally, we wanted to invite all the friends to our Arvut team that will begin in 15 minutes. You're invited. We're preparing ourselves for the Congress, for the tremendous Congress coming up. It's on the Moscow Zoom. It's with translation. And Rav will send you the link.